Coming to the Paradise Center for the Arts on Saturday, January 13th, America's premier Pink Floyd tribute band, Run Like Hell. Run Like Hell celebrates the sights and sounds of one of the world's most successful and influential bands of all time. Featuring six highly accomplished Minnesota musicians and vocalists, Run Like Hell meticulously recreates the unique sound and spectacular visual show of Pink Floyd. Relive all the hits from classic albums, Dark Side of the Moon, The Wall, and many others. Tickets are available at the Paradise box office at 507-332-7320. And mark your calendars for Saturday, January 13th. Art Zany, radio for the imagination, with your host Paula Granquist, is brought to you by the Northfield Arts Guild and by the Paradise Center for the Arts. And now, Art Zany, radio for the imagination.
Good morning, this is Paula Granquist, and you're listening to Art Zany, Radio for the Imagination. I thank you very much for listening. We are here to celebrate creating and stories, and hopefully say a bit of good morning to your imagination. I am going to start off with a song, because I'm thinking about these seasons, and this song is good because it has a little bit of summer, a little bit of fall, and those guests here may recognize this voice, and it brings up an interesting idea to me. So let's take it away. This is called Changing Colors. Here we go.
Once again this year, the summer is almost gone. There's a boy down by the railroad tracks, chewing on stale gum, kicking through the leaves and the drops of autumn sun. Sometimes we've all got to change our colors. I am standing still, making music with the wind. My melancholy branches turns the breeze into a hymn. The chilly air is just another song I long to sing. And I've been busy changing all my colors once again. If you look real close, you can find a place where you can let yourself wrap up in sunlight's warm embrace. I am left alone, the leaves are off my chest. The boy down by the tracks now has a crumpled cigarette. We're both unprepared, oh, for the winter's rest. But now at least we're both done changing all our colors. I've walked real close, and I still don't get how every year when fall comes around, oh, I always seem to forget that I'll just keep on changing colors. Oh yeah. We all just keep on changing colors.
All right, that was Arlo Cristofaro. I hope I'm saying that correctly. Close enough, right? That is a great tune. He was a student here in Northfield who has moved on to other things. I haven't heard an update from him in a while, but I just thought that was a perfect fit for today's topic today. Again, that was Changing Colors, and that's from The Great Glass Jar. So if you're interested, I've seen it for sale at some local places. It was a little while ago, though, but it's wonderful to hear that. And it sort of reminds me a little bit about, I was thinking about the event Arts for Martin, which is coming up, and it was thinking about, wow, this another year has gone by, and it's amazing. And I think that as you get older, something shifts and you start recognizing that cycle of life a little bit. And there's like this deeper groove that builds. And to me, it reminds me of like a walking meditation. Like, when I turn this corner, I remember that this happens. There's these particular, you know, routines and rituals that remind you of the passage of time in a way that didn't used to stand out. But there's also this sort of reverence and a little bit of joy that comes from that repeated experience, thinking, I'm here and I get to experience this again. There's a gratitude that comes through that is present, maybe a little deeper each year. And it's sort of a marker on the path that you're closing in. There's maybe fewer opportunities to experience each of these things. And that to me makes life a little bit sweeter. And that pattern reminds me of walking a labyrinth. And you know, it seems, if you aren't familiar with those, it's a walking path sometimes made with stones in a unicursal path is how I've heard it described. It's a circular pattern that has one path to the center and another path that leads you back to the beginning. I thought this was really interesting. This was from the Labyrinth Guild of New England, that sometimes it's confused with a maze, but it is the great thing about a labyrinth is there's only one decision that needs to be made, and that's when you enter. And so once you take that first step, you're going to take you closer to the center. As long as you follow the path, of course, you're always welcome to take a different path in life. But if you're doing the meditation to follow the path, that design is part of its power. And that there's a threefold path. There's one that enters you, sort of like asking you to release and let go. The center is sort of that opening that happens. And the return path is the union, taking you back into your life with a few more benefits. And I thought that it was really great that they talked about the idea of not walking that path alone. A lot of labyrinths are in public gardens or public places, and someone may be walking ahead of you, or maybe they're walking slower than you want or faster than you want. And we get a choice every time we encounter them. Do we walk in their space? Do we go around them? Do we stop? Do we pause? It's really interesting how that's a reflection. And it becoming connected with that fellow journeyer is, you know, one of the decision points. It's a choice that we have. So it's about making those chosen paths. And I thought that was really fascinating about that journey. And I always try and find a Martin Luther King Jr. quote. There's so many. It's so fun just to Google quotes by him, because it's astounding the number of profound pieces of life advice and lessons that you can hear. The one that I grabbed for today's show is, we must accept finite disappointment, but never lose infinite hope. I thought that was pretty incredible, that you can think about the world in so many ways. And I like to be on the side of hope, and I have a lot of hope. And I always have excitement for this event, Arts for Martin. It is one of my all-time favorite pieces of art that's produced in this community. You've heard me talk about it before. I'll keep talking about it as long as they keep doing it. I am here with guests from Arcadia Charter School. Bob Gregory Bjorklund brings a fabulous panel every time. Welcome.
Fabulous.
Thanks,
Paula.
Welcome to the show again.
Thanks.
This event is happening next week, Friday, January 12th.
A week from today. We're that far in now. A week from today is MLK weekend.
Right. And So this is on the Friday. It's a one-time show.
Yes.
No repeats. So you're
Friday night, the 12th, 7 o'clock. At Arcadia.
And you're going to want to get there a little bit early, because mm-hmm. sometimes parking, and I haven't looked at the weather ahead, but it always seems like it's usually one of the coldest nights of the year.
Yeah, well, maybe we've done that this week here.
Right.
Here's hoping.
Right, exactly. Yeah. But it's a community event. Everyone is
yes.
invited.
And it's free of charge, no ticket cost.
Remind our listeners who are either new to the community or maybe haven't celebrated the origin of this event. It's been going on
sure.
for over a decade now.
Yeah, we're in our 14th year.
Whoa.
Isn't that something?
Cool.
Yeah. This is, excuse me, this is a community celebration, and by that I mean the entire Northfield community, with an invitation from Arcadia to the entire Northfield community to come and join us and reflect on Dr. King, reflect on Dr. King's life and what he did and what he said. And this is what I ask all of our performing artists to do also, when they're thinking about what sort of art they want to bring in, what sort of performing art, all of those things. Plus, and this is good for the audience too, why is Martin Luther King important to us here in Northfield and now in 2018? So that we don't just put him up on that MLK day off pedestal,
mm-hmm.
but so we really think, because he is in our present here mm-hmm. and now.
That's the part I think I enjoy most, is it's not just the history that happened. It's the today that we're creating that is, you know, a part of what his legacy, and it carries over, and it's relevant to today in our world. Yeah. And that's an important reflection.
Yeah. And the arts are, I call the arts the unifying factor in this performance. And so we're reflecting on his life utilizing the arts, which is great. Northfield's okay. Has anyone ever said Northfield's a unique place? I'll say it. within that weekend, we have in this community four different MLK celebrations. If you count the two colleges, which each will have an observance, and the public's invited to those. And then ours is on Friday, and then kind of bookending the weekend on Monday is the community observance. So this is a good town for thinking about Dr. King.
Right, and so you can find those events and have it a weekend, really celebrate.
Yeah.
The Arts for Martin is the beginning, and on to Monday, which is a day off for many people, Martin Luther King Jr. holiday.
Yeah.
Fabulous. And we have three incredible guests, as I mentioned. Let's start over here. Sam Wilmot, welcome to Arts Any Radio.
Hi.
Oh,
hi, I'm Sam Wilmot. I'm dancing in the show.
And tell me a little bit about yourself. What people, you've been on the show before. You've been in theater for a long time, and you've done Arts for Martin. Tell us about your experiences with the show.
I think I was first on the show in fifth grade, or maybe fourth grade. I forget which. Talking about my origami business that I had during the Riverwalk.
Oh, it was that long ago?
Yeah.
Oh, goodness. And see, now here I am, just like that time thing going by, and here you are all grown up. And I hated when people said that when I was a kid, so I'm sorry I said that.
That's fine.
Which I think we still have a couple of your origami pieces in our house because they were pretty popular.
Glad you enjoyed them.
And so you are dancing tell us a little bit about your piece in the show.
Well, Sherry Satchel choreographed it, so you know it's going to be great.
Mm-hmm. So Sherry is our dance teacher at Arcadia.
I didn't realize she had a permanent gig there. That's exciting. Yes, she's extraordinary. Mm-hmm. And so tell us about how you enjoy the dance experience.
Sherry has a really friendly way, fun way of approaching dance. She brings like humor to her warm-ups. She connects with all the people she works with, and then she also choreographs great things. So Sherry's a great dance teacher.
I absolutely
brings a lot to the,
how many students are dancing in the piece?
I
want to say there are nine of you. Either eight or nine, I think.
Yeah. We're actually not quite sure on the final number. Some people have been missing classes, and we're still
not
100% certain if they'll be there for the performance.
You still have a week, so you're getting ready. And you talked about the song that you chose, or that Sherry chose, probably.
Yeah, it's by Sam Cooke, and it's Change Is Gonna Come.
Which, again, a nice tag to what we've been talking about. And so I really look forward to seeing that. Thank you for being here today.
You're welcome.
And we also have the Alden Cristofaro Hark. I hope I said that right. Now, you can correct me on the pronunciation. And you, your brother is Arlo. So Alden and Arlo. I asked you a little earlier if Arlo is still making music, and you said he was focused on writing. Yeah. So maybe he'll listen, and I'd love to have him back again.
Yeah.
And you have been a part of the show for many years. Something that is always a tradition with this show is the backdrop. And tell us about your experiences with that.
Okay, yeah. So every year there is a mural that is painted on the backdrop of Arcadia. So there's like it's just kind of like a big platform that is perpendicular to the ground, and it is white, and it's just meant to be there, so it looks like a stage. So every year we paint some sort of, almost I'd say, like tribute to Martin Luther King, and every year there's different people that helped either with the movement back in the day, or last year actually I changed it up a little bit, and we painted some people that were more modern from the movement. So last year I did Malala, was one of the big people. Obama I painted last year, and Nelson Mandela, and then of course Martin Luther King. And so that is kind of just what it is. And so 4 years ago was my first time painting it. And I started painting it because my sister, Antonia Cristoforo Hark, and her friend, Nikte Marroquin Hasselet, painted it. And I think they painted it for a couple years. And I helped them out 4 years ago. And so I think that was their senior year. So they need to like pass it on to someone and do something. And so now I've been painting ever since. It is really fun, and basically it's just a big mural of faces. It's black and white. There's usually a quote that goes up there. This year is a little different, because I have not had as much time to do it. So I'm actually only going to be painting Martin Luther King, but I made him a little bigger, and so he's kind of more of the center. But usually he's right in the center. There's like three or four other people around him. There's a quote. It's a good time. So.
Yeah, and what have you learned through the years of painting his image or the images of the piece? And they're extraordinary. I mean, they're very moving. Just to come and see that piece of work is kind of an experience to not, you know, just to make sure that you come and at least look at that, because those art pieces go away. They get painted over.
Yes, they do.
Just to, you know, I'm kind of crushed for you because they're so extraordinary. So what have you learned through that process?
What have I learned? That's a hard question. I kind of get more leaded to like what experience I take away from painting. That it's more of the reason I do it, and it's not necessarily for more of a learning experience. It's more because I love doing art for a community and having being able to express art through a community and having people love it and it having meaningful representation in the community. So I don't know. That's kind of the reason I do it. I don't know if there's necessarily like a distinct learning thing I learned from it, but I mean, it's good skills, it's good practice, it's fun. I don't know. I love doing big art.
It is a really large backdrop. And what year are you in school?
I am like right now, it's a little confusing. Right now I'm transitioning between 10th and 11th grade.
Okay, so you'll be here for a couple more years to help out with that artwork, and then you'll have to pass it on.
Exactly,
which is kind of what I was thinking when I picked Arlo's piece to play in the beginning, was this idea. I thought, well, this is really about, you know, that community event, but then many of these young folks involved step off into the world.
Yes, they do.
And they carry the Northfield feeling and that sense of community into other places and other projects. And I thought,
as the director and producer, I'm always wondering, well, who's next? Who's coming in behind these guys? And
there's always something.
It always happens.
That's right. You know? And we have one more guest, Olivia Rizak. Welcome to again to Arts Annie Radio. And tell us a little bit about you. And you're going to be performing poetry, which is another aspect of the show.
Okay. So I'm Olivia. I actually graduated from Arcadia last year. So I'm coming back in to help out for Arts for Martin. I'm going to be reading a poem with Bella and Lucia. We are going to be reading Equality by Maya Angelou. It's a really powerful piece, I think. Especially with the three of us reading it, we kind of have three different voices. And I don't know, Bob, do you want to talk about your kind of lead up to picking this poem?
Sure. Should I go there, Paula?
Sure, that's fine. Yeah, we'd love to hear the story. I should remind listeners, we're talking about Arts for Martin here in Northfield at Arcadia Charter School. January 12th is the night of the event, 7 to 9, community event. Everyone is invited. It's a you know, presentation of arts and stories, and it's just a beautiful night. One of the things I definitely look forward to every single year.
And I'll mention this, and there are performing artists from all around the community, so we can talk about that at some point too.
Absolutely.
We've got our Arcadia folks involved, but we have a lot of other folks involved also, everywhere from elementary through professional.
And you've had some consistent things that have shown up, which are slightly different each year, but poetry is one of those. And you were going to tell us a little bit about how you selected this poem.
So this November, I was sitting at home with a new hip and and watching and just fascinated by, that's not quite the right word, but that's one of the words that everything that was happening with the Me Too movement. And that's a big change in our culture.
Mm-hmm.
And there were, I saw things that we needed to touch on in the Arts for Martin. Because if you think about what Martin Luther King talked about, there's so many ways that we can apply his philosophies and his thoughts and his convictions to all kinds of areas of our lives. Certainly, racial equality is so important, and we keep bumping our heads on that issue, and so that's important. But where are other biases and prejudices in the world, and how do we address those? And so that's why I thought, oh, I need to find something. And so I started to look at poems. And of course, Maya Angelou she's so wonderful. And I found a poem, and the poem's entitled simply Equality. But it speaks, I think it speaks on a lot of levels to what's going on now in our country.
Right, and so you are performing this piece, and how have made decisions about how, you know, what to present, how to use the voices in presenting this poem?
Yeah, so Bob actually split up the poem into three different parts. So I think Lucia is reading first, and then I kind of... I don't know.
There's kind of a response that carries on, a couple times through the poem, and that's Olivia's responsibility initially.
And I'm remembering the poem now that you talked about it, I've seen it performed, and it gives me chills to think about what's coming, and so that certainly will be a highlight of the night as well. But like you said, it is a jam-packed show. I don't know if you guys have a favorite segment that you like to enjoy watching, or a part that, because there's music, there's dance, there's singing, there's poetry. What am I missing?
These guys may not know everybody who's coming.
Oh, so Bob.
Hey, guys, here's who's coming. Ready? Let's see. I think we'll probably start with a little bit of African drumming, which
always
is great. Mm. And the Prairie Creek Orchestra will start the evening off. So we'll have them, our community choir. And so here, hey, everybody listen. Here's an invitation. Come sing in our community choir. This is open, and we're inviting the entire Northfield community. And we have a group that will sing, I think, three or four different songs in the course of the night. You're all invited to that. We'll rehearse this next week, Tuesday and Thursday. Tuesday the 9th, Thursday the 11th at 7 o'clock. 7 o'clock at Arcadia. And then, of course, sing for the performance. So the community choir will be there. Let's see. And they'll be accompanied by Craig Wozner. A lot of people know Craig, great pianist in town, works with a rock and roll revival band. And Dan Coleman, who composed a piece for this, for our very first Arts for Martin 14 years ago.
Which has become the traditional closing for everybody gets involved.
Yeah, and Dave Miller, a great musician here in town. There are two Dave Millers. This is the Dave who's a teacher, middle school band teacher up in Apple Valley. And Mark Fisher. Bass player, great here in town. But we'll also have the Latino playwrights are going to come over. They're working on a piece. Did you guys know that? So that'll be fun. The Aztec dancers are going to come in, and they'll dance. What am I missing? And the Laura Baker Choir. They're our closers.
They bring a smile to my face every time
they're
So it truly is a component that, you know, all of our community comes together to give this gift, you know, and this opportunity, I think, in exchange for the audience and the performers to feel that, sit in that spirit, in that moment of reflection.
Yeah.
It's an incredible thing. What keeps you guys volunteering for this? Because this is outside of your, you know, so you're doing some of the practices, but this is an event that happens outside of school. It's at 7 o'clock on January 12th, Friday. What do you enjoy about being a part of it? Olivia, you're coming back,
yeah.
You know, as someone who has already graduated.
Yeah. Bob had actually contacted me, and I was just so excited. I really do love just participating in community events. They're just always so fun, and Arts for Martin, especially because I get to reflect, especially on how these pieces are relevant today. And I'm always surprised at how relevant they are. So, yeah, I'm just really, I love performing. So, yeah, I guess that's it.
And what are you doing now that you have graduated? I suppose we could people might be wondering that if they're listening. How have you gone forward into your life?
Yeah. Well, this year I'm taking a gap year. I'm doing a lot of work. I'm planning on taking a extended vacation out to California to visit my family out there. And then, I don't know, might visit some other country. I'm getting my passport soon, so planning on leaving the country a little bit.
That'll be an incredible experience.
Yeah,
and you, again, definitely. Just like I said, you can take those things that you've been gifted and experienced here and you know, travel the world, reflect a little bit on what you know, what you learn. That's an exciting time of life.
Yeah, so, definitely.
Wonderful. How about for Sam and Alden?
Well, this year I don't need to put in a lot of extra effort to be there because everyone in who just takes dance class at Arcadia is in Arts for Martin.
So okay.
My class is just already there. But I do like to do it. I like performing, but also there's a lot of beautiful pieces and art done that night. And you can tell it means a lot to a lot of people. So I would do something to be in it anyways, but this year it's kind of easy for me to just step into it.
Right. Thank you. Yeah. And how about for you, Alden? Your family's been involved, like you said, for a lot of years.
Yeah. On the other hand, from Sam, I do not like performing as much. So that's why I kind of keep to the visual arts side. Don't really have to be up there as much. I'm also doing probably some sound and lights for it, you know, whatever. Just kind of doing that. And that's kind of always fun. I always love doing the art. I always love doing that. It's all just all good experiences.
Every show needs every part to make it happen. Yeah. So I know my kids were in a show once together, and one my daughter was in tech and my son was on stage, and they were arguing about which is more important. And I was like, this is fruitless. You can't do that.
Well, then you know that artists are used to working hard.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And they do, and they spend a lot of time. And would you agree with me that part of it is because you feel a strong investment in this, but also it's a frame of mind. All of these guys have done shows with me, and when you think of the number of hours that you put into each of those productions, artists work hard.
And that's something you, as an audience member, which is another essential part, to be there for the performances, you feel that.
Yeah.
You sense that. Every group has practiced, has spent time, has committed, you know, themselves to coming and showing up and being on stage.
Yeah.
Tell us, one of the other traditions is a speaker from our community.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
And that's an important part of the evening as well, because each time someone from our community is able to reflect on their experience with this message and to share their story with the audience.
Yeah. Our presenter... Excuse me, and we have a presenter each year, so we kind of we shape the performance pieces around that presenter. Our presenter is Reginaldo Haslett Marroquin, otherwise known as Rehi.
Yes,
who is right now down in Guatemala, staying warm, and I wish I was too, but he'll be back. And Rehi seemed like the right person to present this year. Rehi actually presented, I'd say, probably 8 or 9 years ago, when I thought it was important. And again, if you think about what Dr. King talked about and said, I thought it was important that we hear about the Latino community in Northfield. And how we are interacting and interweaving in Northfield, the Anglo community and the Latino community. So Rehi came in and spoke. This year has been a big year for him because he just published a book.
Mm-hmm.
The title, In the Shadow of the Green Man. Do I have that right? I think so. In the Shadow of the Green Man.
I think that's correct.
Yeah. And so last year our presenter was Mac Gimsey, wonderful artist and poet and reciter of his poetry, and he brought all of his sculpture in, and we had a great evening. And so Reihi is a whole different direction. I've asked Reihi to talk about, I'd say, three different things. How are we doing in the community right now? What's his book about, and how might that tie into this? And then how does this whole thing tie into Martin Luther King and his life and his thoughts?
And he has a great story to tell. He's a great speaker, and he's worked extensively, you know, in farming and in this community, and in Guatemala too, with some
the Main Street Project.
That's right, and people may recognize that. Yeah. So that'll be another highlight of the show.
It is
truly a coming together of the community. What do you want people who are coming to experience the show to take away? What are your hopes for this particular Arts for Martin evening? Anyone want to jump in?
I can jump first. I think I can jump first. Sure. Gathering thoughts. One thing I like people to know, if they haven't been to the Arts for Martin yet, is to realize that, let's see if you agree with me, Paula, that the evening has an arc to it. Kind of like a good play or a good story or a good poem, or does it work for visual arts, Alden? It has an arc. The evening goes somewhere.
I think that's true. As for an audience member, you start and there's sort of a welcome with the drumming, but by the end of the evening, it feels as if you are taking that energy and that part of that performance because of the closing song, and that you are gifted with something that you get to take out into the community.
You're saying it a lot better than I did.
Well, that's how I feel. That's why I love going, and that's why this is an event that I do not miss.
And I'll just once again a plug for the arts is that's what the arts can do, and oftentimes do, and so it will that night. Our space is not a large space, so that's another good reason to come early, but it also creates a very intimate setting, and that also lends to what we're able to do, where we're able to go with the evening.
Right, because you have, there's, you know, everybody who performs then wants to become a part of the audience, or the people come from the audience to go up on stage because they want to be a part of the show. So there's a lot of shifting and a lot of movement. It's an extraordinary evening. And how about for any of you, what hopes you might have, or what would you want somebody to learn about Arcadia that's hosting this event?
I hope that if they didn't already know, they took away the importance of Martin Luther King Jr. and what he did. And I also hope they enjoy it, because once again, a lot of work is being put into this by a lot of people.
Absolutely. And one piece I wanted to mention was that there is an open house for Arcadia if anyone has students.
Thank you.
And that's coming up. That's on Monday, January 8th. At 6:30 in the same space.
We'll use the whole school for our open house.
We usually give a tour.
Of course, you
I've
can
done
jump
it
in.
Several times. We usually give a tour, just kind of giving them a feel for the space. And it's usually individual. Like a family will come in, and a student or a teacher will take them around, and they can ask questions. And get a feel for the school, I guess.
And that's from 6:30 to 8, so I guess you could come as you're available. It's an open house.
Yeah,
right.
Monday the 8th. Yeah, this is the time of year where a lot of schools are saying, hey, come visit us, see what we're about in case you're looking to make a decision for next year. And this is great. So this is our 14th Arts for Martin, our 15th year as a school, and still there are people in the community who don't necessarily know Arcadia. Mm-hmm. And so this is a great invitation to come out and get a sense of who we are.
And it's for students 6 through high school.
Through 12.
So anyone in that category can come to the community members just want to know what is this Arcadia.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's a great experience. So I know you all have to get back to classes and learning and practicing and all of the things that you do. And I see your bus is here.
What timing.
I know. They're really great. So I don't want you to... Oh, the bus took off.
Okay. I'm
supposed to hear what. I guess they're really... Like they gave you 30 seconds, not even 5 seconds. but you know, any closing thoughts that we should share with our listeners as we talk about Arts for Martin and another year, another step in that cycle?
Sure, 25 words or less. Why do you like it?
Me?
Yeah.
I think it's what I talked about, that feeling that I get, that idea of, oh, yeah, why? You know, you get so caught up in life, and especially after the holidays, and you're like, you know, running like crazy, and you think, wait, why am I here on this earth? What am I doing? Mm-hmm. And how am I being in this community? And am I making decisions and spending my time in a way that is, you know, something that I, you know, can pass it on and experience to people? And do I know about my community? I mean, what am I missing? Mm-hmm. It's so,
sure.
Especially the speakers teach me a lot about that. So I think it's become a habit.
Good. That's a good habit.
That was a lot more than 25 words.
That's right. He did limit me.
It's her show. We'll take it. Yeah.
I guess I don't even know what 25 words looks like. That would take me hours to edit that down.
Yeah.
But it's that feeling that I take away thinking, I feel hopeful after I leave.
Great. That's good to hear.
Mm-hmm. Well, anything else from you folks? I guess we'll have to go track down your bus.
No, I think
at the beginning of the show, you asked about my experience with the show, and I think you probably meant Arts for Martin now looking back on it, but I answered with my experience about this radio show.
Which is okay.
Which I thought was the question at the time, but looking back, I'm like, no, you're probably asking me about the thing I came here to talk about.
But I want to hear about that too. And that's part of, I love the sense of community that's created here, because we are all a part of it, and your bus is back. They did a loop, and I have them head out. I'll wave to the bus driver so the bus driver knows. Folks, this is Art Zany Radio for the Imagination. I thank you so much for listening. I've got a couple of things on my Art Happy List I want to share with you so that you know about some other things happening in our community. I thank our students, Alden Cristofaro Hark, Sam Wilmot, Olivia Rizak, and of course, Bob Gregory Bjorklund for joining me today to talk about Arts for Martin. It is truly something that you need to add to your calendar. Some of the other things happening, I want to mention, I had on my list, Hotspot was hosting Helen Forsyth and Parker Owsley. Helen plays the banjo, Parker plays the cello, and they are the triplets. Their concert that was scheduled for this evening has been rescheduled, so you're going to want to check hotspotmusic.org, and I forgot to write down the new date. I just got that email late last night, and they are an incredible group that is pulling from jazz and from folk and bluegrass, and they just have this really instrumental, stellar vocal harmonies, and that starts at 7:30. And let me double check the rescheduled date, because I believe it was maybe not on a Friday, but go ahead and hotspotmusic.org is where you can find that information. And I also want to mention, this is exciting, folks. The Northfield Arts and Culture Commission has announced their 2017 Living Treasure Award winner. Judy Code is the winner this year, and so congratulations to Judy. There is going to be a presentation on Monday, January 22nd, 2018 at the Grand Events Center. Doors open at 7. The program begins at 7:30. And this award is co-sponsored by the Northfield News and is presented to Judy Code by Mayor Rhonda Pownell. And it is really an exciting opportunity. Judy is, I love this phrase, she's been described as a gardening artist. And she's been a leader in the effort to beautify downtown Northfield's Bridge Square, as well as other city park locations. She's involved in designing the plantings, but working with members of the Northfield Garden Club and the city staff to implement these floral designs. She donates countless hours to one thing that you might not know is the Children's Pollinator Garden in Riverside Park. That's a fairly new one. I don't think there's anything there in the winter, but in the spring and summer, it's an absolutely gorgeous combining the artwork and trying to teach kids at the park about a little bit about plants. And so she's just done an extraordinary job. This is an award that recognizes residents who make an outstanding and lasting contributions to the city's identity and quality of life through and on behalf of the arts and culture. And so it's just an extraordinary evening. So I thank Judy for that. And you may recognize some of the previous winners of the Living Treasure Award. Ray Jacobson was the first one to win that. Myrna Johnson, Cora Schultz, Paul Nemisto, Patsy Dew, Dwayne and Thea Wee, Jan Sugar, and Judy Swanson. And I've had the honor of meeting them or having them on the show. And it's always a great reflection of the extraordinary talents of our community and the people who are committed to making this a great place. So I hope you'll join everybody for that event. Again, the Living Treasure Award is going to be held on Monday, January 22nd at the Grand Event Center at 7. The presentation is at 7:30. I've also want to mention an event happening. You might be thinking, wow, how can I do this year different? There's an event happening at Content Bookstore. It is the Bullet Journal. And you might not know what that is, but this is an exciting new way of, I suppose it's described as an analog system for the digital age. And Cynthia Gilbertson is of Northfield Yarn is going to be teaching a class in the introduction to this. She's been using it for over 3 years, and it's a way of, you know, sort of replacing your calendar and your agenda book and creating a personalized system for just making sure of keeping track of your world and setting your priorities and kind of it's an individualized system. So I went last year, or last fall, I think they did something, and it's a really interesting way of looking at how to keep track of things, how to organize your time and your life, and I think it's a perfect time to do that. That's at Content Bookstore. You can look that up at contentbookstore.com. Also want to mention that Foot in the Door, we talked about this a couple weeks ago with the Arts Guild, and it is an opportunity for community members to have their art displayed at the Northfield Arts Guild. So they are inviting painting, photography, sculpture, mixed media, drawing, and prints are all welcomed. Of course, it is a foot, as in 12, and 12 inches as the dimensions, but you can get all of those details at northfieldartsguild.org. Any emerging, established artist, anyone, any age, any ability is invited to present their work. And all you have to, entry process is incredibly simple. Just bring your artwork on Saturday, January 6th between 10 a.m. and 12 p.m. to the Northfield Arts Guild, and your work will be included in the Foot in the Door exhibit. So I think that's an exciting thing. So you still have one more evening to create something for that. And perhaps that's something your family wants to do on this cold Friday night. Folks, you've been listening to Art Zany, Radio for the Imagination. I thank you so much for being a part of the show. I really do mean it. It means a lot to me that you keep listening, that you tell me stories, that you check in and spend time listening. It's extraordinary to have this opportunity. It's a part, another reason that makes this community great. And so I thank KYMN for all of their support over the years and for including Art Zany in their lineup. It's certainly a thrill of mine. I hope that you add some Art Zany to your life this year. And in the meantime, until next time, enjoy your imagination.
You've been listening to Art Zany, Radio for the Imagination, with your host, Paula Granquist. Art Zany is brought to you each week by the Northfield Arts Guild and by the Paradise Center for the Arts in Faribault.
Connect and experience art at the Northfield Arts Guild. Visit our galleries, arts festival, and take in a performance at our theater featuring a full season of dramas, comedies, and musicals. The Guild's gift shop showcases unique art from over 100 local and regional member artists. Come enjoy music from the Cannon Valley Regional Orchestra or the 411 Concert Series. We invite you to explore your creativity in one of our classes. All are welcome at the Northfield Arts Guild. To learn how you can be a part, visit northfieldartsguild.org. Or call 507-645-8877.